This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tyler Dunn of the Bleacher Report joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. How you been, my friend? You have set this state on fire.
I'm doing well. I'm just out here in Western New York hanging with the pup, four months old, Edmund. He's doing well, taking a little snooze right now. So when he wakes up, we'll... go out. He's learning how to operate an invisible fence, so he's doing well.
I think it's vice versa. The operating of the invisible fence comes from the fence to him, not vice versa. So just an FYI.
He's learning. I think it was one little zap, and he's been steering clear, so he's a quick learner.
No doubt. Hey, I don't even know where to begin. There's so much that came out of this article. Let's start about the basis for it, because it seems like it was a lot of work, a lot of talking to people over a long period of time. I was explaining to people, unnamed sources, because you know how it is. I mean, people wear green and gold glasses here, and anybody that's unnamed is a turncoat, and it's BS. And I'm trying to tell people that, hey, if somebody's currently in the league and you're talking about an old team, you can get, you know, penalized by the NFL for that. So you got to remain unnamed. But how long did this thing take you to kind of put it all together? And as it started to come together, did people start calling you? Were you making more calls? How willing were people to talk? That's the kind of stuff that I wanted to know.
No doubt, Bill. Yeah, definitely. Probably about 4 months, you know, right around the time they lost to Arizona and McCarthy was fired. I mean, I was just catching bits and pieces of that game. I don't even know where I was, but it was just like, man, I can remember when it was automatic on that field against that kind of opponent, that quarterback and that coach doing whatever the heck they wanted to, as Ryan Grant kind of put later on. It was almost like they'd walk into these meetings and laugh because the Vikings, the Bears, whoever they were going to face, they just had no shot. They just knew that these players were going to work with the talent they had in this simplified offense that was beautifully simplistic. It was talent-based. I mean, your guy can't stop our guy was the feeling. So how did it get from like that point to that? And I guess it's curiosity. I just kind of, you know, went through the contacts on my phone, having covered the team for four seasons out there at the Journal Sentinel, was reaching out to players, to personnel guys, to coaches, anybody in and around the organization that I could, and just kind of seeing what conversation led to the next conversation. And I guess probably talked to, I don't know, 45 to 50 people, just transcribed everything, printed it all out, reread like a book, trying to grasp where everybody was coming from. There's going to be, I guess what kind of blew my mind, how strong the opinions were one way or the other. There were a lot of folks who pinned it on McCarthy getting quote-unquote full of off his own juice and thinking he was the great creator. His system was the reason that they won the Super Bowl. Him being unable to adapt to change and then checking out in more ways than one. And then there were people on the record, Greg Jennings, JerMichael Finley. I mean, you're talking about two of Aaron Rodgers' top targets for four-plus years apiece that were very candid. Ryan Grant, I thought, was super insightful, super engaging, and kind of had interesting takes all across the board. You know, he didn't really pick a side. And I guess that's what it kind of came to. It's not good versus evil. It's not good guy, bad guy. It's not black and white. There's so many shades of gray with this. As one person put it, it's really like an onion. I mean, the more you peel back, the more layers there are. And I just try to kind of sift through those gray areas best I could to figure out that answer to that question. Just what the hell happened in Green Bay?
So, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, McCarthy has come out and refuted some of this. And you know, I don't expect him to do anything else but refute it, because otherwise it just, on its face, it looks kind of bad. And then James Jones has said, well, wait a minute, this is not what I remember. I've had teammates text me. First of all, this seems to have happened a little bit more maybe after the James Jones tenure. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Just in terms of James Jones, too, definitely reached out to him and NFL Network at one point Never heard back. I don't know if he denied the request. They basically told me that they couldn't lock it down. So try to give him the opportunity to speak, you know, as one of Rodgers' top targets. Just didn't want to, I guess. But, yeah, made his voice known there. I mean, there's definitely players that didn't see any of this as a problem. I mean, you got 53 guys on a team.
Right.
You've got all these coaches. You've got all these personnel guys. There's people who told me that, hey, they kind of wrote this off. You're going to have tension. But the other side of it way outweighed that. And I think it did start earlier. Probably the biggest surprise, that's kind of what I keep getting asked, Bill, what surprised you the most? It was that the discord and animosity, to whatever degree, started way earlier than
right.
anybody could have thought. You know, it
you
was
know
when
Tyler, when you were still here, I had a conversation. I was still working at the network. Now, this goes back 10. This is back when they won a Super Bowl, before they won a Super Bowl. And I was talking to Aaron. I said, hey, you know, man, boy, how much did Mike, you know, make do you for your game? And I was kind of doing a story on Mike. And Aaron got kind of pissed off. And he sat me down next to his locker, and we had this really short conversation. He said, hey, I'm pretty damn good. I didn't need that much help. And it was almost like he took offense to anybody saying, giving Mike credit for his growth and ability. And this was not long. This was, like I said, it was might have been the year that they actually played Arizona in their first playoff game with Aaron Rodgers, that dramatic game in which they went into overtime before they ultimately lost. But it might have been back then. And, Aaron, there was an animosity there that I sensed at that point in time. I mean, so when you say it goes way, way back, I agree with you.
Totally. And I can't tell you, Bill, how many stories in that vein came up in conversation. I mean, it was early. Really early, when they're winning.
Yeah.
They're winning the Super Bowl. They're going 15-1 the next year. It's the honeymoon period, right? I mean, there's literally confetti falling on them. They're passing the Lombardi Trophy back and forth to each other. It's just mind-boggling. And, you know, like we wrote, I mean, he's talking to people close to him, basically saying that the guy just doesn't know what he's doing as a coach. You can't respect him. The wrong plays are coming in, the wrong formations, plays that don't even work. And maybe he's right. And, I mean, right, that's part of it, too. Maybe Aaron Rodgers needed to take control, and Mike McCarthy gave him control at the line and kind of loosened the reins on his quarterback a little bit more each year. And maybe Rodgers needed to do that because all that talent we were talking about drained, and you don't have, like, all five of those receivers that were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Maybe he had to do that, but there's also the other side. He's your coach. Respect your coach. And I think it's just wild to think that there was this kind of tension when the getting was good. And, yeah, I mean, that definitely came up often. There was one player, you know, regular contributor that told me that, you know, he came on around 2011. Yeah, so he wasn't on the Super Bowl team, but then for the next year and just said that, you know, it was a cancer in the locker
right.
room, and it just shocked him.
Yeah.
That it was that degree.
Talking with Tyler Dunn, author of the Bleacher Report article that really kind of set Packer Nation on fire yesterday. And not to get into the surprising aspects of this, but one of the other things that I thought was so interesting is the vast array of people you got to talk to. And I think for a lot of us that are on the inside, or at least that kind of know all these different, you know, people, you get a sense for maybe who is talking and guys that have talked to us in the past and such. But the fact that so many were willing, even though they can't use their names because they're within the NFL, so many were willing to go on the record. And one thing, let me go back to the James Jones thing real quick. James Jones is his guy. And so, you know, as well as I do, if you're Aaron's guy, you don't have any problems with Aaron. Aaron doesn't have problems with you. If you're his guy, you're on the in, man. It's no big deal. There's nothing going on there. But if you're not, you see a completely different side of the world, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, and I think Greg Jennings kind of put it perfectly there and detailed when his relationship with his quarterback kind of started to fall apart in the contract year, game one. Rodgers, you know, if he's joking, if he's not joking, he thinks there's a little truth in it when he says to Carlos Rodgers, why don't you take him, you know, get him out of here in so many words. And Jennings insists he's done everything in his power to mend that relationship post-playing, and Rodgers doesn't want nothing to do with him. And like, once you're out, as people say. I mean, he wants to surround himself with positivity. That can be a great thing, you know. And it's hard to tell. Like, look at New England, for example. You know, maybe there are receivers there. You look at Tom Brady's best receivers. I just don't know if there's that kind of split there with his best receivers. Like, there seems to be here. I mean, Greg Jennings was talking about being a Viking and meeting up on the field with Packer receivers, like, before the game, and almost like telling them, hey, don't look over your shoulder. It's okay. Like, don't be scared. Because obviously Aaron Rodgers got after him just for saying hi to Brett Favre when Favre was a Viking. Just little things like that that seem to add up and just make it a little strange when you have so many amazing moments together. You won a Super Bowl together. You were his number one receiver, and it didn't work out. You don't even want to talk to the guy anymore.
Talk with Tyler Dunn of the Bleacher Report. Before I let you go, the question to me, when Mark Murphy makes the call, I mean, you got some quotes there from Murphy calling Rodgers, which is unbelievable digging to get, and the fact that somebody's willing on the inside to say this is what's going on. Do you get the sense now, because this is, I think, where Packers fans are, is dysfunctional and as much information of negativity we took in yesterday, can this thing get back on the right track? I mean, do you think Mark Murphy has taken it and kind of wrapped his arms around it and said, okay, enough. We're going to change things. We're going to make this culture different. We're going to kind of knock down the silos and things are going to be better. Or do you think that there is so much chaos that this is just going to exist until Aaron fades away and then we're kind of stuck with only one Super Bowl and back to the ineptitude of the 80s?
That's how much are the Packers worth? $2.5 billion? That's a $2.5 billion question.
Yeah.
It can go one way or another. I think that the situation in Green Bay now is incredibly promising. I think it's really good. I mean, I know there's opinions all over on this. I think it's good that Mark Murphy stepped in. You know, it's taken over a decade for somebody to step in. I mean, Ted didn't do it between Aaron and Mike when something was needed, a voice was needed, and obviously he wasn't doing much during March to help the team as the salary cap was rising. He could have signed guys, and his health was an issue, as we wrote. But nobody above him was stepping in because it's unique in Green Bay. I mean, the fans own the team. You don't have a Jerry Jones. You don't have a, you know, an owner with that heavy hand, and sometimes that's needed. So it's good that the de facto owner here, I think, is basically telling Aaron, I don't think it was like super adversarial. It's don't be the problem. Don't be in the headlines for the wrong reason. This is our choice. You know, we're going with Matt LaFleur, and they made this choice based on Matt LaFleur being a good coach for the entire football team. It wasn't through the lens of what will he do for our quarterback. You know, obviously comes from a great lineage. He's going to be innovative. They're going to be motioning, using misdirection, doing different things. Nathaniel Hackett is, I mean, if you spend 5 minutes with the guy, I mean, you want to run through a wall. He's just full of energy. I think Luke Getsy, everything I've heard, is he's a straight shooter, and that he'll challenge Aaron Rodgers. So it's all set up, and I think that he plays within the confines of an offense, which is going to be new. I mean, he's had that green light to kind of freelance, and there's been a lot of good with that. But as Greg Jennings said, if you just got to make those minor sacrifices, minor subtle changes, you know, hand the ball off to a running back like Tom Brady did 47 times in the conference championship game to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. Those little things can be the difference between making the playoffs 8 years in a row, winning one Super Bowl, and winning six Super Bowls.
Hey, did you reach out and try to get in touch with Aaron Rodgers on any of this?
Yeah, both McCarthy and Rodgers. But like I said, too, I think it was important to get the cross-section with several dozens of people around the organization over this amount of time as opposed to one singular voice or the other. But, right. Yes, that's true.
Tyler, great stuff, man. I tell you what, it's a hell of a read. Always appreciate your stuff. Always respect it. And we will talk again soon, okay? Keep up the good work.
You got it, Bill. Thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon. There you go. Tyler Dunn, the author of the story that broke yesterday in the Bleacher Report regarding the Green Bay Packers, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.